Next on Gospel of Life, we'll talk about the secret sin that God's people are most reluctant to admit. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director. And we have emphasized time and time again on these programs that we who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortions. Rather, we reach out to them with the compassion, the mercy, the love of Christ. Janet, I often talk about the person I know of who had 24 abortions. And I point out that even she, upon repenting of her sins, can and will be welcomed back to the mercy of Christ and the church. That, of course, puts a duty on us to repent of our sins, but it also puts a duty on the rest of us to welcome back that person in our midst and make them feel like, yes, indeed, the forgiveness and mercy of God is being reflected through us, the Christian people. This is a critically important need that we're going to discuss on this program with somebody who is making that happen.
That's right. And, you know, Father, recently we were at a conference called held by the CareNet organization, which is an umbrella of pregnancy centers throughout the country. They have an annual conference. And in that conference, it's education for people who run the pregnancy centers. And another underlying part of this is most of these centers have a post-abortion healing track program within their center. And there was training at this conference. And the person that we have on the line with us today is someone we met at that conference, who does a lot in the area of healing from abortion. We have with us now Mary Kahn. Mary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Father, for inviting me today.
Great to have you with us.
Well, Mary, I just wanted to ask you, you know, how did you first get involved in post-abortion ministry?
Well, it all started, Janet, when I realized my guilt and my responsibility in the abortion of a friend of mine that I had grown up with, and as I began to go through my own healing process, God gave me an incredible compassion for others like myself and my friend that had been so deeply affected by abortion.
So you never had an abortion yourself. It's just that you had a friend who had an abortion. Did you take them for the abortion, or what was your part in this?
My part in that, Janet, was that I was her best friend, and I was her confidant, and I had a great deal of influence in her life. And instead of following my own gut instinct and knowing that abortion was wrong, I instead stepped aside and I allowed her to make that decision and decided that whatever decision she made, I would support it. And that's what I did.
You know, Mary, so often that sounds like the right thing to do. I always remember one of the opportunities that I've had to persuade someone not to have an abortion. I was in front of a Texas abortion mill. And car pulled up, two women inside, and it was a friend driving her friend to the abortion facility. And I talked to the friend, and she said, you know, I really didn't want my friend to come here for this abortion. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why did you bring her here? And she said, well, because I felt I needed to be loyal to my friend. And
right.
We feel like, well, this is their decision, so let me allow them to make it. But then in reality, doesn't that then make the person feel even more isolated, even more alone, and in fact increase their temptation to go through with the abortion?
Well, exactly. It's leaving that person alone to make this incredibly weighty decision without the support of saying, I know you can do this and I'll stand by you. And that's what I should have said to my friend. I think it would have made a difference. Would she have chosen life for her child? I don't know, but at least I would have been responsible in my reaction to her, and I was not.
So from this experience then, you had a calling, I guess, to help with post-abortion healing.
Well, it's interesting, Janet. As I said, I went through my own healing process, and I began to learn everything that I could about abortion, you know, the political side of it and procedures and fetal development, all that. At the same time, I was praying because I had served in a ministry prior to having children of my own, and I had been praying, asking God, you know, give me a ministry that I can do from my home without leaving my children. And I received an email one day in response to an article I had written about my own healing experience with my friend's abortion. And she said in her email, she said, I'm a Christian and I've had an abortion and there's nowhere for me to turn. She said the pro-life people don't want to hear that I've had an abortion and the pro-abortion people don't want to hear that I'm sorry for it. And I felt in that moment in my spirit that that was what God was calling me to do, was to minister to those that had no other place to go to share the pain of their abortion experience. And that's when I started Safe Haven Ministries, which is an online ministry for that purpose.
What you said is very significant. Of course, the pro-abortion people don't want to hear that that they're sorry for it or that it hurt, because, of course, that undermines their whole message that abortion is good for women.
Exactly.
But what's even more disturbing, because that behavior on their part is predictable. What's more disturbing is when pro-life people don't want to hear that these people have had an abortion, and yet the person's sin is not the same as the person. If we're pro-life, we're also pro-woman, and we need to be in solidarity with that woman. Your ministry, therefore, is a very important reminder, like many other post-abortion ministries, that we need to stand with that woman. We reject the sin of abortion, but we certainly don't reject those who commit it.
Exactly.
So I know, Mary, this has led you then to write a book, correct?
Yes, it's called Secret Sin, When God's People Choose Abortion. The book is basically about pulling back the curtain on the personal side of abortion. It's not political. It's not about the political ins and outs of the abortion issue. This book is completely about who has abortions, why they have those abortions in the first place, how those abortions affect them, and then what we in the body of Christ can do and should do to minister to them at the point of their need. And by the way, many of those, I think the statistic is that 70% of those that have an abortion report a significant religious background.
Now, what did you do to get the research for the book? Did you interview a lot of women who've been through this? What were some of the sources that you used, especially on that first question, who gets abortions and why?
Well, actually, we use, for the majority of our statistics, we use Planned Parenthood's research arm, which is Alan Guttmacher Institute, mm-hmm. as far as who has abortions and what religious or racial or socioeconomic category they fall into. We get a lot of statistics from them. Then for research on how abortion hurts people, my time at Safe Haven afforded me much of that. And then we also used other information, like from the Elliott Institute, things like that, to gain our information for the research for this book.
Well, let's summarize for our viewers. You mentioned about the religious background of those who get abortions. Give us some of the other contours of the demographics of people who abort.
Well, it really touches everyone, just about. I mean, I can't give you all the statistics on the different demographics. I don't have those in front of me, and that's really not where I was going with the book. The purpose of the book really was to focus on the fact that there are many, many, many people within our churches that have been touched by an abortion and wounded by an abortion, and what our responsibility is then to help them find healing in Christ.
The reasons that people give why they are getting the abortions are often not the reasons that the general public might think. What does your book speak about in terms of those common reasons?
Well, there are as many reasons probably as there are people out there. Many people within the church have abortions to hide the fact that they have had sex outside of marriage. I have run into more ministry children of pastors and ministry leaders who have had abortions to save the faith, you know, of mm-hmm. their parents that are in ministry work. There are those also that are coerced or forced to have those abortions. I can't tell you how many women I've talked to that their parents made them have an abortion when they were in high school.
Yeah, that's sad,
isn't
it?
And they're doing it like that friend that took her friend to the abortion clinic. They're doing it to try to help. They think in some way that they're helping and doing the best for their daughter or their friend or whoever, but they don't realize the consequences of abortion, or they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back, and Janet and I, and talking with Mary Comm to discuss more about her book, Secret Sin, When God's People Choose Abortion. And brothers and sisters, stay with us. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. I'm joined by Janet Morana and our guest by telephone, Mary Comm, who has written a book called Secret Sin, When God's People Choose Abortion. And Janet, we've heard some interesting things so far from Mary and the work that she's done.
That's right. You know, Mary, I'd just like to ask you, how have you used your book in communicating with pastors and churches? Because, you know, I know from dealing with the women, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, one regret they have is that they didn't hear enough about this in the churches. They thought the church was going to condemn them, that they couldn't go to their pastor. Have you been able to approach pastors with this book as a resource so that they would come to more understanding?
I have, Janet, and I wrote the book specifically with pastors and ministry leaders in mind, because their plates are full with ministry responsibilities, and when it comes to abortion, it's a topic that they're afraid of, many of them. It's become very political, and so they're afraid to broach the subject with their congregations for a variety of reasons, one because it is political, and another because there are many people within the church that feel that there is a time and a place for abortion, and they're not opposed to it. So pastors tend to shy away from it, and it's such an enormous issue, they don't even know where to begin to deal with the issue.
Well, I remember a story one of the girls from the campaign told me that her pastor never preached about it. She found out years later, when he finally admitted it, was that his own sister had an abortion. And
right.
Therefore, he felt he couldn't preach about this because in his heart, he felt like he was condemning his own sister. Of course, you know, he himself, his eyes were opened, and he then later led his sister, you know, to healing. But this is a common thing, don't you think, that even these pastors know people who've had abortions, and I think that's a stumbling block for them.
Absolutely. And there are even those pastors, Janet, that if there's a fetal abnormality or the woman or young girl has been a victim of rape or incest, they will even go so far as to recommend abortion. I have talked with several people that their pastors recommended abortion for them, and that is the most tragic to me of all.
Well, sure, because if the shepherd you're going to for help is counseling you for an abortion, you know, then what? You know, like who
right.
who do you turn to next? You know.
But it goes back to the misinformation that has been put out there that abortion is actually something that helps women. It does not help women. It does not solve a problem. It creates more problems. But our church leaders and many of the Christian families within our churches and congregations believe the same thing, that it is a solution to a bad situation, and it just isn't.
Now, you have a website, and if people want to get a copy of this book, how can they do that?
Our website is www.inourmidst.com, INOURMIDST.com. And the book is available through the publisher, which is Morgan James Publishing, located at MorganJamesPublishing.com. It's also available on Amazon.com.
Okay, great.
It's an important resource. One of the questions many people have is if they know a friend who's had an abortion, and their friend knows that they know, what would you recommend that they say to them?
The first thing that I would say to them is, I'm so sorry for how that experience hurt you.
Yes.
And God loves you just the same. That does not, the fact that you were involved in that does not change the fact that God loves you and he wants you to be whole again. And I would encourage them to seek out someone who does post-abortion counseling. I would encourage them to go to their pastor. Their pastor may not know how to counsel them or how to help them, but I think their pastors need to know. Our pastors need to know that we're out there and that we're hurting. But I would give them, you know, some encouragement to go and seek help, because this is really such a deep issue that you need someone to walk with you through the healing process.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mary, for joining us. And we'll hope that more people will go to your website and get the book and read it and be able to help more people who we know are hurting in the churches.
Well, thanks so much for having me on again. I appreciate the opportunity.
God bless. We'll talk to you again.
God bless you.
So, Janet, this is one of so many different outreaches. It really is the right time in the church for these kinds of ministries to come forward.
That's right.
What Mary is doing.
That's right. Because, you know, we have to show that the church is here for these women. You know, like I said before with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, one thing that the women always felt was that's how the abortion industry wins. They push them into that shame deeper because they think they can't go to the church. They think they can't approach their minister. They think it's the unforgivable sin. So the more we can get this message of healing out, the more we're going to bring people back to the church.
Well, thanks, Janet, for all that you're doing to facilitate this healing. And brothers and sisters, there are ways you can reach out. And if you're a pastor, or if you minister in your parish in one way or another, be sure that the church is announcing to the community and to its own congregation that there are ministries of healing for those that have had abortion, including for the men who have lost children to abortion. Announce it on the parish bulletin, through the communications that you have with your church members, by posters and signs, promoting retreats like Rachel's Vineyard and other kinds of post-abortion healing ministries that you can find at silentnomoreawareness.org. Promoting these resources of healing is simply another way of preaching the gospel. It's the gospel of God reconciling the world to himself in Christ. That includes reconciling those who have been alienated because of abortion. So many of them feel that they can't even set foot again in the church. So many of them feel that we in the pro-life movement are going to reject them. Let's show them that that's exactly the opposite of what's true. And let's understand that by our advocacy for the unborn, we are not compromising or throwing away our relationship with those that we know who have had an abortion. Often that's what keeps people from getting involved in this movement. But this is a movement that embraces with love and healing those that have had abortions. So let's make that known. Stay with us now. You're going to learn how you can help our ministry to grow. And then after this announcement, you will also have our action segment where we'll provide for you additional ideas of practical things you can do to spread the gospel of life. Please stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome, friends, to our action segment where Janet Moran, our associate, and I talk to you about practical things you can do to advance the cause of life. And today we're going to talk about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.
Well, you know, Father, as you know, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign is where men and women who've experienced abortion but come through healing stand out in a public way at our gatherings and hold those signs that I regret my abortion, and the men have a sign that says I regret lost fatherhood. We'd like people out there that are interested in bringing that type of gathering to their community. We would be happy to help them do that. We need regional coordinators. It doesn't mean you have to have had an abortion to be a regional coordinator, but you'd like to have this kind of an event. They can go to the silentnomoreawareness.org website, and they can send us an email through that website, and we'll be happy to be personally in touch with them and see how we could bring the campaign to their community. But then we'd like to help them spread the message of the campaign by using the various products we've developed. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we have bumper stickers, both in the regular kind that are, you know, sticky to go on the car, or a static sticker. We have mugs. We have pins now, nice big round-sized pins that say, I regret my abortion, or the women do regret. Everyone can wear a pin, or every woman can wear one that says, women do regret abortion.
Right, because that doesn't mean
that
they had one. But
right.
It's spreading, it's counteracting the myth, isn't it, that
yes.
That abortion is somehow a benefit to women. It's not. Those who have it are the best testimonials that this, in fact, is it doesn't solve your problems, it brings more problems.
That's right. So again, with the women do regret abortion saying, we have the buttons, we have the mugs, we have T-shirts, they can wear the T-shirts. I know a lot of the youth groups, there's a pro-life T-shirt day. Why not wear a T-shirt that says, women do regret abortion? And then finally, we have big vinyl banners. These could be hung in a school gymnasium, a church hall, if you're having a rally. And again, with the message, women do regret abortion. And then we have another one that has a lot of the women who've had abortion. They're pictured there standing in a group, women of different ethnic backgrounds. And the caption says, we regret our abortion. If you do, there's help. And there's a hotline number that you can call, plus our web address. I mean, a banner like that hanging in a high school or college gymnasium, can you imagine the effect that that will have? You know, a lot of these kids are the ones who go off and have abortions, but if they see there's people who said this wasn't good, a good thing to do, it might stop some people from going down that road. So we'd like them to use these products to help get the message out that abortion is not good for women.
And people have, of course, their own websites, and to link to silentnomoreawareness.org is another way to promote the campaign. And also to link to the specific testimonies that are on the website. One could make a link specifically to the testimony that has been given by one or another of these women or men, and let people who visit your website know about it. Similarly, sending out the link through one's email list. And also, pastors in churches can promote the campaign, first of all, by putting it on their church website, by telling their congregation about it through mailings that go out, and also by inviting one of these women or men to say something to the Sunday congregation at the end of the service and to share their testimony from the pulpit. Many have done this, and it's a tremendous way to lead the congregation to a deeper awareness of why abortion is wrong.
You know, if any questions they have in that regard, Father, they can email us at mail@silentnomoreawareness.org, and we would love to get back in touch with them, get a post-abortive person to speak in their church, help to get a gathering in their community. So we want them to really help us to get this message out, because, you know, a lot of people cling to choice because they somehow think abortion is good for women. If they get the message out there, more and more people will be converted to the pro-life message.
So, again, in order to facilitate a gathering where women will come together and say, I regret my abortion, we're not saying that they're the ones who have to find the women.
No.
We actually have women on our database ready to share about this in their own local community. This is just a facilitator to help organize the event.
That's correct.
Yes.
So just contact us at Gospel Life, like I said, the Silent No More Awareness website, And we'll be happy to put them in touch with the women who want to make that event happen in their community.
Okay. Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. We want to hear from you. Be in contact with us. We'll get you some of these products for the campaign eagerly to share with you and with those you associate with the message not only that abortion hurts women and that women regret it, but that there is hope and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spread that positive message and continue to defend life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I worried about staying in school.
I was already struggling to care for one child.
My parents told me I wasn't ready to be a mom, so I had an abortion.
I had physical problems afterwards.
I went from relationship to relationship.
I hated myself.
I started to have nightmares.
I cried when I saw a pregnant woman.
I tried to commit suicide.
Couldn't bond with the child I later had.
I tried to numb my pain with alcohol.
I struggled with depression.
I had trouble conceiving again.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
Each of us thought we were the only ones struggling afterward.
Now we realize many women regret their choice.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
There is a crisis in America. A Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the powerful booklet called Pro-Life Answers. This will equip you to answer any argument that abortion supporters throw your way. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. You will watch the testimonies of women and men who have lost children to abortion, but who have found healing through the blood of Christ and have proclaimed that healing on the public streets of America. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll include an autographed copy of Father Frank Pavone's book, Ending Abortion, Not Just Fighting It. This book will provide numerous insights into the pro-life cause, such as those you learn on these programs. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.